The fourth parak focuses on different items. When can they be added together, mitzaref together, in order to equal the shiur, the minimum amount required in order to violate the prohibition of mi'ila? What does that mean? So as we discussed at the beginning of this masecht, in order to violate the prohibition of mi'ila, somebody has to benefit from something that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash in a certain amount. And it has to be a benefit equal to, at least equal to a pruta. So equal to or more than a pruta. Not a lot of money, but you have to hit that amount in order to be chayav on mi'ila. And the question that we're going to relate to in this parak is what different items can be aggregated together. So for example, if you have something that the person benefits from that's a half of a pruta and another item that is also a half of a pruta, when can those be joined together? Half and a half is equal to an entire pruta in order for that individual to violate the prohibition of mi'ila. He benefited from half a pruta from this item, half from that item. When do they get aggregated together? So we'll start seeing examples of this in Mishnah Aleph. We're going to divide up between items that are kodshei hamizbeach. Those are items that can be offered on the mizbeach. And kodshei bet hakabayis. Those are items that cannot be brought on the mizbeach, but that they have been donated for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. They can be items that are actually going to be used directly. For example, building materials, gold and silver, or items that have to be sold by the Beis HaMikdash. And the money will be used for the Bet HaKabayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll see that Mi'ila will apply for either of those, the Kodshei Mizbeach and the Kodshei Bet HaKabayis. And because the Shear is going to be the same, it's going to be anyone who benefits a pruta from either of them, so the shear is the same. So if somebody benefits half from one, half and from the other, it's also going to be starved together. It's also going to be aggregated together because it's the same amount. Doesn't matter that somebody benefited a half pruta from Korban Shlamim and a half a pruta from a hammer that was owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Those are going to be aggregated together. Having said that, there are things that will not be aggregated together. As we see shortly, we'll also talk about pigul, noser, and tameh. That is, if somebody eats a korban, and as we've talked in the past, the meat from that korban was invalid because somebody, at one of the points of bringing that korban, for example, at the zrika, had an inappropriate thought that he's going to do something out of its proper time. That's a chutz lizmana. For example, he has a mind, I'm going to eat the meat out of the proper time, or I'm going to burn the emurim out of the proper time. So that causes the meat, anyone who would eat the meat, to be a pigul. Nosar is when the meat is outside of the allotted time to eat it. For example, a korban shlamim, you can eat it only the day that it is brought, that night and the next day, but thereafterward, you're not permitted to eat it. If somebody eats a kazayit of it, that is nosar. Or if somebody who is tameh eats a kazayis of the meat, that as well is going to be a chiyuv. If it's bemazid, all of these, if you do it bemazid on purpose, it is going to be a chiyuv of karis. And if it was not on bemazid, it was beshogeg, then the person is going to have to bring a korban chatas. And we will see as well, talking about when are those items mitzaref together and when are they not. If you have a half a kazayis of this and half a kazayis of this, a pigul meat from two korbanos. So here we go. Mishnah Aleph, kodshei amizbeach mitzarfin zeim ze lemi'ila. When we have kodshei amizbeach, they are mitzaref together for the chiyuv of mi'ila. So if somebody benefits for a little bit, less than a pruta, from a korban that was designated as a tchatas and a different korban that was designated as an asham, the half of a pruta and half of a pruta are going to be mitzaref together, that the person indeed violated that benefit of a full pruta, and that is going to violate the prohibition of mi'ila. And in addition, that doesn't only apply to the mi'ila prohibition, that you mitzaref those two things together to have a pruta, ulechayev aleihem mishum pigul noser v'tamei. It would also count to aggregate items from different korbanos. We're talking about kodshei mizbeach, items that are often offered on the mizbeach, that will be mitzaref together for purposes of pigul. So for example, if you have half a kazai from one korban that is pigul, from a chatas, for example, you have another half of kazayis from another korban, from a let's say an asham, That those two half a kazayasim will mitzarf together for a whole kazayas to personate it, and that's going to be a pikul. That person is going to be chayav for pikul. Same thing is going to apply for nosar, half a kazayas overdue, out of the proper time to eat it, of one korban, and another half a kazayas from another korban, or somebody who is tame, who eats a half a kazayas of a valid korban, and half a kazayas of another half valid korban, that's all mitzarf together. That is all talking about kodshei hamizbeach. When it comes to kodshei bedek habayis, these are the items that are not brought on the Mizbeach, but they are owned by the Beis HaMikdash, they have Hekdash status, Kodshei Bedek HaBayis, Mitzarfin Zemze. When it comes to Me'ila as well, those are going to be Mitzarf together. So if somebody has a half a pruta benefit from a screwdriver and half a pruta benefit from a hammer for his own personal benefit, those are going to be Mitzarf together. The person would be Chai for Me'ila. However, they are not going to Mitzarf for Pigol Noser and Tame, because Pigol Noser and Tame, it doesn't apply for Kodshei Bedek HaBayis, those items. It only applies when we have Kodshei HaMizbeach, an item that was brought on the Mizbeach. And continuing, when it comes to Kodshei HaMizbeach with Kodshei Bedek HaBayis, on those two levels, items that are, we discussed this before, an example, if you have something that you have a benefit from a korban in half a pruta, and something that is Kodshei Bedek HaBayis from that screwdriver, half a pruta, those are going to be mitzarf together. Mitzarfin zeim zil me'ila for purposes of me'ila, and if the person does half a pruta from two different items, they're mitzarf together, they are aggregated together, and the person does violate me'ila, but that is not the case for Pigol Noser and Tame, because again, Pigol Noser and Tame, they only apply for the Kodshei Mizbeach, but not to the Kodshei Bedek HaBayis. So we're not going to be mitzaref those two together, because they're only relevant to the Kodshei Mizbeach, and again, not to the Kodshei Bedek HaBayis. Mishnah Beis continues discussing various items that combine together in order to achieve certain results. Typically, it causes an isser. We're going to see actually three examples, three categories of this. The first is going to be focused on korbanos, which are kodshei kodashim. And then we're going to have a second example of korbanos that are kodshei kalim, and there will be a difference there. And then we're going to talk third category, a bunch of items that are considered truma that will be mitzarev together as well. So starting at the beginning, Mishnah Beis, Hamisha Dvarim, Ba'ola mitzarfim ze'im ze'. There are five things that come from a korban ola. Korban ola is kodshei kodashim. As we saw in the first perek, kodshei kodashim, there is a problem of mi'ila, even on the meat, because the meat is going to be burnt on the mizbeach, and we will contrast that shortly to kodshei kalim, that there is not mi'ila. Kodshei kalim, the meat is permitted to be eaten by the owner of the korban. So let's focus on the korban ola. Korban ola, the entire thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So if you have these different items of the korban ola, five different items, they will be mitzarf together, and we'll see for what in a little bit. So what are the items? Habasar, if you have the meat. So if you have less than a kazayas of meat, it's going to combine with the chaylev, which is a certain type of fat, or hasoles, the flour of the korban mincha that's brought together with the ola. Next is v'hayayin, v'hashamen, and also the wine and the oil. All of these are brought together with the korban ola, and accordingly, when we're talking about needing a kazayis, for example, in order to violate a prohibition, for example, Pigol, Nosar, and Tame, and various other issues as well, we're going to be mitzarf these parts together for purposes of Mi'ila, that if you have less than a pruta of one and you have less than a pruta of another, but combined, somebody benefits from two of these items or three of these items, and you have a third of a pruta, they are all going to be mitzaref together because they are all part of the korban ola, all part of the korban ola mitzaref. All of them together, they have the same shiur, and they are going to mitzaref for the same iser. So in other words, what we're saying here is when it comes to pigol noser and tame, the shiur, the requisite amount to violate those prohibitions is a kazayit. So these are going to be mitzarf, be combined together to equal a kazayas or more in order to violate the prohibitions. But when it comes to me'ila, we're going to be mitzarf them together, not a kazayas. That's not our barometer. Our barometer is a value of a pruta, so we're going to combine one, two, or more of these together in order to achieve a pruta that if somebody benefits from these multiple items, they will violate the prohibition of me'ila. Next, in the Mishnah, we're going to now talking about a korban. We'll talk about vishisha betoda. The toda is kodshei kalim. And why this is important is there is no mi'ila. Accordingly, when we're going to be talking about items, six of the items that come from or with the Korban Torah that they're going to combine together. We're not talking about that they will combine together for purposes of Me'ilah, to combine together for purposes of a Pruta for Me'ilah, because Me'ilah is not relevant for Kodshei Kalim. But we will be talking about, for example, Pigol Noser and Tameh. That is relevant for Kodshei Kalim. So Veshisha B'Torah, there's six items that are Mitzrayim can combine together. If you have one, two, or more of them, they're Mitzrayim together, for example, for a Kazayis in order to violate the Isurim of Pigol Noser or Tameh. And what are they? So they're the same five we just saw with the Korban Ola. And then we're going to add on another one at the end. So Habasar, V'Hachelev, V'Hasoles, V'Hayayin, V'Hashemen. And the number six that is added that applies to the Korban Torah, but did not apply to the Korban Ola, is V'halachem. Lachem is breads that are brought together with the Korban Torah. Accordingly, that will be added on to our six. We'll have a sixth item and not only five that we had for the Korban Ola. Now, the third category of what we're going to aggregate together, these are all items that are called Truma, different forms of quote-unquote Truma. The first one is the classic Truma, HaTruma. If somebody has produce from the field, they have to give a certain amount of it to the Kohen, so that is the first tithe that is taken off of the produce in the field, HaTruma. Utrumas Maaser, from the Maaser Rishon, the 10% of the produce that is given to the Levi. The Levi has an obligation to take off Trumas Maaser. That's the same as Truma, but as opposed to being given by the owner of the field, it's given by the Levi from his 10%, his Maaser, so he's going to give Trumas Maaser to the Kohen. No Trumas Maaser shall Demai, very similar to Trumas Maaser. It is a form of Trumas Maaser from Demai. Demai is produce that somebody buys from an Am Haaretz, that is somebody who's not very strict about the various halachas, and now we're talking about tithing items, so we have a suffix, we have a doubt, did he tithe the produce that he selling or not? Accordingly, we have to take off Trumas Maaser from Demai as well because of that suffix. We do rely that he took off Truma, even Amaratzim, they'll be strict about the Truma, but other tithes, certain other tithes we're going to have to take. So this is the Trumas Maaser also, it's still called Truma. Hachala, the challah that's given from a dough, it is given to the Kohen. That is also referred to in the Posek, in a Pasuk as Truma, the Hapikurim of the first fruits, of certain types of fruits brought to the base of Mikdash, given to the Kohen. That is also called Truma in the Torah. All of these items, they are Mitztarfin Zeh Im Zeh. They are all aggregated together. For what purpose are we talking about? Because we're not talking about Pigol Noser Tameh. So what are they aggregated together for? Le'esor, to prohibit something. What's going on here? So there's a general concept when you have a mixture of chulin, that's non quote unquote truma items, and what happens when truma falls in. So when truma falls in, that's a problem if you don't have enough of the chulin, the non truma items, to neutralize it. If you have 100 of chulin versus the truma that falls in, that is going to neutralize the truma. However, if you have less than 100 times of the regular produce versus the truma, you have a mixture called meduma, and that's problematic. That cannot be eaten by a non-Kohen. But there's going to be an exception here that we're going to be even stricter, that even if you have 100 times the truma, there is still going to be a problem, and that is if the truma that falls in, it causes the mixture, the truma that falls in is a leavening agent, that it would cause the dough, for example, to leaven. Or if you have something that is a spice and it spices it. So it's something that has a big impact. Typically, we would neutralize that truma with 100, but so that when that truma has the effect of leavening or spicing, that has an impact on even if you have more than 100, it doesn't matter. So what we're talking about here is what happens if you have some truma that falls in, that in of itself, it's not sufficient to spice or not sufficient to leaven the dough that you have, the non-truma dough. But when it falls in together with other of these items that are called truma as well. So for example, you have a little bit of truma fall in and a little bit of trumas maaser fall in, a little bit of a challah fall in, a little bit of bikurim fall in, and each by itself cannot leaven or spice the dough that you have. But when you combine them together, they do. And that's what we're saying right now. Indeed, all of these items are mitzarif together, le'esor, to cause a problem on this dough, because now it is not going to be neutralized. Even if you have 100 times of chulin versus what fell in, but because we're talking about what fell in, combining together is leavening or spicing the dough, That chulin that we have 150 times, it will not neutralize that truma. That is still going to be considered a meduma, can't be eaten by, not literally a meduma, but it's going to have that effectively, that status, that it's not going to be able to be eaten by a non-kohen. And in addition, another ramification of this, when we're mitzaref all of these items together that are called truma, ulechayev aleim es achomesh, to obligate somebody who eats a kazayis of it. We're talking about a non-kohen. A non-kohen is not permitted to eat truma. In the amount of a kazayis, he's going to have to bring a korban chatas, that is a shogeg, and when he brings each truma, it has to bring a korban chatas. So how about if he ate a little bit less than a kazayis of truma and less than a kazayis of truma smaysa, less than a kazayis of truma smaysa, demai of chala, but combined together, even just two of them combined together, they have a kazayis. That is what it's saying here. The chayev alem as a chomesh, here it's talking about chomesh. He would be obligated, not to bring a chatas, but he would be obligated to add a chomesh when he pays back. When he pays back to the kohen, he would have to pay back not only the value of what he ate, but he would also have to pay back an additional chomesh as well. Mishnah Gimel continues discussing various items that combine together for various halachas. Some can be if you eat it. Some can be the amount requisite to transfer tuma, as we will see shortly. Mishnah Gimel, first clause, kol ha-pigulim mitzdarfim zeim ze, anything that is a pigul, even if it's a pigul from different korbanos, they will be mitzdarf, they will combine together to make a kazayis, such that if somebody eats a kazayis, a pigul, even if it's from multiple korbanos, that person will be chayev kares. Next example, very similar. Kol ha-nosari mitzdarfim zeim ze. Nosar, this is out of the proper time to eat the meat from a korban. Even if you eat a little bit less than a kazayis from one korban and less than a kazayis from another, they are mitzdarif together, such that somebody who eats a kazayis of them will be chayev kares. Next example, number three, we're going to talk about Tuma and Tahara. Kol ha-nevelos mitzdarfot zeim zo. A nevela is something, an animal that did not have a shechita, it died. And we see here that even if you have a less than a kazayis from one nevela and less than a kazayis from another nevela, they will mitzdarf, they will combine together. And here we're talking about for purposes of transferring tuma. You need a kazayis of a nevela to transfer tuma. So even if they come from different animals, they're different nevelos, as long as they are a minimum of a kazayis combined, that will transfer tuma. That's number three. Number four, going back to eating. Kol ha-shrotzim mitzdarfim ze, all shrotzim, those are creeping, crawling animals that can be rodents, insects, lizards, and the like. They're actually different types, but we won't get into the details of the two categories. So it's just on a high level, kol ha-shrotzim mitzdarfim zeim zeh, they will all be mitzdarf together, that if you eat the requisite amount, it really depends which type, that they're mitzdarf together. Are we talking about a kazayis? I guess I am going into it a little bit. A kazayis, or are we talking about an adasha? It depends which type. But if you're in the same class of shrotzim, they will be mitzdarf together, and if you eat the requisite amount, that person will be chayav malkus. Number five, going back to Tuma and Tahara, dam hasheretz ubisaro. If you have the blood of a sheretz, that's those creeping creatures, and its meat, the flesh, they are mitzdarev together. This is talking about the amount of an adasha, that's a lentil size. And if you have a lentil size of both the blood and the basar together, they are mitzdarev, they will combine together. Even if you don't have enough of either one of them, but you have them combined, they will be combined together. You have an adasha, that lentil size, and according to that, that will transmit tuma as well. So those are five different clauses that we just went through, different halachas we just went through. And now we're going to see a general principle. It's going to be a little complicated. Klal Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua gave a general principle. We'll read it through, and then we'll go through it again with more detail. Klal Amar Rabbi Yeshua, point number one. Kol shetuma so v'shi'uro shavim. Any two items that the tuma, this means the amount of time it takes from when the person or the item becomes tame until it becomes tahor, is going to be the same. So all items that have the same tuma, they transfer the same tuma, such that when they are metame something else, it will become tahor in the same amount of time. For example, that day, You just have to wait till nightfall, or is it a tumas mace? You touch a dead body that will require 7 days of tahara, 7 days of tuma, and only then is there a tahara. So everything that has the same tuma period, vishiuro shavim, and the shir means the amount of the item that is required in order to transfer tumah. For example, is it a kazayas? You need a kazayas of a nevela to transfer tumah, or is it an adash, that lentil size of the shrotzim to transfer nevela? So if the tumah is the same, the amount of time that it causes the tumah, and the requisite amount shear in order to transmit tumah, if those are equal, then mitzarfim zeim zed, they will mitzaref together, the various amounts, the various types, even though they're from different items, but these, they will be mitzaref combined together in order to achieve that minimum amount that is required. We'll just give the example on this one. For example, you have two pieces of nevela, and you have a really small piece of nevela, less than a kazayas from one and less a kazayas from another. So because they are the same item effectively, they're from two different animals, but they have the same tumah, so the same amount of time it takes to become tahor, that's you have to wait till the nighttime, and they have the same shi'ur, the same amount that transmits tumah in order for a nevela to transmit tumah, as we mentioned, it needs to have a kazayas. So that fits into the first clause here, kol she'tumaso v'shi'ur shavi mitzarfim zeim zed, these two small pieces of nevela will mitzarf together to achieve a kazayas, and accordingly it will be mitame together because it has a kazayas. Clause number two in this klal, in the general principles, tumaso v'lo shi'uro. If they have the requisite amount, the same amount of time that it takes in order to become tahor, however, their shi'ur, the minimum amount required in order to transmit, is different. For example, one is an adasha and one is a kazayas, or shi'uro v'lo tumah, so the reverse of it, they have the same shi'ur amount to transfer tumah, but the amount of time it takes to become tahor is different, or both are different. This is clause number four, lo tumas v'lo shi'ura, the amount of time of tumah, the amount of the shi'ur required in order to be transferring tumah, those are both different. Amy, Starfin, Zayvin, Zen, none of these items will combine together. So let's go back. We already explained what that first clause is, that if the tumah and the shi'ur are the same, and we said this, we're talking about two pieces of nevela, so they have the same tumah period, they seem to have the amount of kazayas that would be necessary to transfer tumah. Now we're going to the next clause, tumaso velo shiur, the amount of tumah is the same in the amount of time it takes in order to become tahor, but the minimum amount to transfer tumah is not the same. So here, an example would be if you have a nevela from an animal and a sheretz, a dead creeping crawler. So here, the tumah is the same. In other words, when those items do have the requisite amount, they do transfer to become tahor, that the timing for the tumah to become tahor is the same. It's going to be that night. You don't have to wait 7 days. But the shi'ur, the amount necessary to transmit tumah, is going to be different, because when it comes to a nevela, you require a kazayas, a minimum of kazayas. And when it comes to a sheretz, an adasha is the minimum, much smaller. That's the amount that is required to transmit tumah. So that is an example when we have the tumah. So the same, velo shi'uro, the shi'ur is not the same, and the reverse, when it comes to the shi'uro is the same, the amount required to transmit tumah. Now we're going to give the example of a nevela and a mace. If you have a nevela that's from a carcass of an animal that did not have a proper shechita, and somebody, an individual, a person who passes away, the shi'uro is going to be the same, that's the going to be the amount required to transmit tumah. Each is going to require kazayas. Less than a kazayas will not transfer tumah, but a kazayas or more will. But on the other hand, the tumah amount is going to be different, which means that the nevela, the tumah that it causes is going to become tahor by that night. Whereas when you have a mace, a person that causes there to be a tumah, it's going to require 7 days. So accordingly, those are not going to be mitzarif, even though their shi'ur of the kazayas is the same, but the amount of tumah is different 1 day for the nevela as opposed to 7 days for the mace. So these two are not going to be mitzarif together. And last clause, lo tumaso v'lo shi'uro, the tumah and the shi'ur are not going to be the same. The example would be you have a mace, a person who passed away, and a sheret. So here, Both are going to be different. The Tumah time period is going to be different because for a person it's 7 days to become Tahor, and for a Sheretz it's only going to be 1 day, and the Shi'ur, the requisite amount to transmit Tumah, is going to be different as well. For purposes of a Mace, it is a Kazayis that is necessary to transfer Tumah, and for a Sheretz, the minimum amount is going to be much smaller. It's going to be an Adasha, that lentil size item. Mishnah Dalet continues discussing various items that don't combine together, but in fact we'll see two examples of items that don't combine. And then the third clause in the Mishnah will talk about items indeed for Tumah and Tahara purposes, actually Tumah purposes, that would combine together. So we're going to start at the way beginning Mishnah Dalet, a little bit background when it comes to Pigul and Nosar. Pigul, as we've seen in a number of places in our Masechta, if somebody brings a Korban and at various stages of the bringing of the Korban has a thought of Chutz Lizmano, going to do an activity outside of his proper time. For example, I'm going to eat the meat outside of the allotted time, or I'm going to be Maktir, burn the Emurim, the sacrificial parts, on the Mizbeach outside the proper time. That is what Pigul is. Or Nosar is meat from a Korban that is left over outside of the appropriate time to eat it. So Chazal instituted on both of those, Pigul and Nosar, that if somebody touches it, his hands become Tameh, not the whole body, but just the hands become Tameh, such that they can transmit Tumah to Truma or Kodshim. So if somebody touches Pigul or Nosar, Chazal instituted on a rabbinic level, that if the person touches Truma or Kodshim, indeed, he will be metame, the truma, or the kachim. So based on that, the Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Dalet, ha-pigul va-nosar, if you have, for example, some meat that's pigul, and some meat that is nosar, ein mitstarf imzeh, they will not aggregate together to reach the necessary shear, be it a kazayit or a kabetza. So if you have half a kazayis of meat that's pigul, and half a kazayis of nosar, or half a kabetza, and half a kabetza, they will not be combined together, mipnei shem shnei shemoth, because they are two different isurim. We were already talking on a rabbinic level, so we don't want to be too strict on a rabbinic level. That would be what is called a gzera of a gzera, that Chazal are instituting two stringencies, a gzera and a gzera. Number one, that they're making the hands impure, that they're making them tameim, and number two, that they would combine the pigul nosar, even though they're two prohibitions. That's what it says, mipnei shem shnei shemos, is two prohibitions. Accordingly, those will be not combining together. Next clause in the Mishnah, we are talking about hasheretz, which we've seen before. The sheretz are the creeping crawlers, the creatures, and we're limiting this to the shrutzim, the eight that are enumerated in the Chumash. The shear necessary for them to become tummy, to have a tumah of a sheretz, is you need a minimum of an adasha, which is that lentil amount, the size of a lentil that we talked about. The hanevela, nevela is something from the body of an animal that did not have a shchita, so that, in order to transfer tumah, is going to be the size of a kazayah. So they have two different shiurim for these two, v'chein ha-nevela u'bisar ha-meitz, and same, or similarly, when it comes to that nevela that we're talking about from an animal, u'bisar ha-meitz, and the meat, from the body of a person who passes away. So these, they are different, they each require a kazayas, but they have different amount of shiurim for the tumah, that the nevela is that day that the tumah goes away by night. But when it comes to being tahor from a mace, it is a 7-day process. So neither of these are mitzarif. Either the sheretz and the nevela, because they have a different size, with the sheretz being the adash and the nevela being a size to be mitame, and the nevela and basar a mace, they're not going to be mitzarif together either, because they have a different amount of time that they cause tumor for. Ein mitzarfin ze im ze letame, they don't be not combining together to cause tumor. Afilu kakal shebishneim, even the more lenient to them. What is that talking about? So we're going to go through a little bit of the Bartanura. And if we first focus on the sheretz and the nevela. And as we said, the sheretz and nevela, the sheretz is that creeping crawler creature. So that it, in order to transfer tumor, needs an adasha, and nevela needs a kazayis. What happens if you have a little bit missing for that nevela? The nevela is the larger shear, so that is the kal. That's the more lenient shear, because the adasha, smaller, even stricter, even a smaller amount is tameh. So we are not going to be mitzaref the sheretz to the nevela. You need a little bit more of a nevela and a little bit more of that kazayas. So we're not going to add on the sheretz into the nevela in order to make sure that you have a kazayas. Even though the sheretz seems to be a stricter, it has a stricter amount, but nonetheless, we're not going to be mitzarven. Certainly, if you're missing a little bit of an adash, a little bit of a lentil amount from your sheretz to become tame, we're certainly not going to be mitzarev, add a little bit nevela to that. So that's what's talking afilu shebekal shebitznayim. Even for the larger amount, we are not going to be mitzarev them together. And when it's talking about vechein hanevela ubesar hameis, we are not going to mitzarev them together. And that's talking about if we are missing a little bit of the kazayitz of the nevela, we're not going to fill in what we're missing with the besar hameis, with what's left over of the human body, even for a tumah to go to the end of the night. Even that's the kal, that's the more lenient one. We're not going to be mitzarev them together. And certainly, if we're missing a little bit of a kazayis from the mace, we're not going to be mitzarev the nevela into that to have a kazayis for a tumah that would last for 7 days. So certainly we're not going to do that. Okay, now we're getting to the third clause of our Mishnah. And this is a tumah and tahara issue, transferring of tumah from one to the other. So on a high level, the most stringent form of tumah is an av hatumah. That's like the father of tumah. And that's talking about a sheretz or an avela. So that's called an av hatumah. There actually happens to be avi avos hatumah above that, but we'll leave that aside. It's not relevant for a Mishnah. There's an av hatumah. And if an av hatumah touches something, it makes it a rishon hatumah. It makes it, we'd call it first degree, a rishon hatumah. Now, a rishon hatumah, and we're going to see that as you go down the chain of what's tame, a rishon making something a second degree or third degree, it's going to be less and less effective in causing other things to become tame. So if we start with an av hatumah and it touches something, it makes it a rishon hatumah can only metame when it touches other things. It can only be metame a food or a beverage, food or a drink. Then it can be metame, but it cannot be metame people. It can't be metame kalim, utensils. Now, having said that, when we are at this rishon level, so we have a food or beverage that is a rishon, and it touches something else that is going to make it a sheni latuma. So that's a sheni latuma. That sheni, talking about that sheni, it's only a food or a beverage. That sheni latuma can only transfer tuma either to something that's truma or kudshim. It would make it a shlishi latuma. It would make it a third degree tuma. So it only goes down to that level of a sheni, of a shlishi, if we're talking about tumah and kachim. And kachim, we can even go another level below that. But it's not, again, relevant for our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says as follows, ha-ochel shenitma be'ava tumah. Now, this is important when it comes to the ochel, food that becomes tameh, you don't need a kazayis, you need a bigger amount, you need a kabeitza. You need a kabeitza amount. So ha-ochel shenitma be'ava tumah, if we have ochel, we have food that became tameh with an av hatumah. So the ochel itself, when it touches an av hatumah, it's going to become a rishon hatumah. So what it means is, we have a rishon hatumah, and also together that we have something ushenitma bevladatuma. We have something that became tame from a vladatuma. A vladatuma is a rishon, so it made something a sheni. Bottom line here is that we have something that is a rishon and we have something that is a sheni, and each of them are less than the kabeitza, which would be required in order to transfer tuma to something else. So it says that little amount that, let's say we have a half a kabeitza of a rishon and we have a half a kabeitza of a sheni, meets starfin zeim zei, indeed they would aggregate together, they would combine litame kakal shebishneim in order to mitame something else, but based on the lower level of tuma. So if you have that rishon and the sheni, a half a kazayis of eats, they are going to be mitzarev together in order to be a sheni, in order to be metame something else as a shlishi, and that's only going to be truma or kodshim. Mishnah, hey, kola ochlali, mitzarfin, all types of food will be combined together. For example, if you have a little bit of a piece of pizza and a little bit of an orange and some peanut butter, they will be combined together for the following five purposes. If somebody eats food that is tameh, it was instituted by Chazal that person will not be permitted to have truma until going to the mikvah. How much food do you need to eat of tameh food in order to disqualify that person from eating truma? Lipsol esakvia bekechatzi pras. It's going to be the amount of a chetzi pras. After a computation, that comes out to 1.5 to 2 eggs. It depends on the shita. So 1.5 to 2 eggs. If somebody ate impure food, then that individual, a Kohen, would not be permitted to eat truma. Number two, b'mezon shtei seudos la'eruv. If somebody wants to set up an eruv tchumim in order to walk more than 2,000 amots in a given direction for a Shabbos, that would require the person, different ways to set it up, as we discussed in Masechet Erevin, but one of the ways is to put out food in advance of Shabbos in the direction and where that individual wants to travel to, or at least in the direction that the person wants to travel to, and the minimum that the person would be required to place in order to establish that Eruv Tchumim is going to be two seudas, two meals of food. Number three is Bekabetza L'tamei Tumas Ochlim, as we mentioned in the prior Mishnah. In order for food to become tamei such that it will be metamei other food, you need a kebetza, you need an egg's worth of food together that becomes tamei. So that's the minimum amount. And again, all types of food for all of this, when it comes to the setting up the food for the Erev Tchumim, all types of food are going to be aggregated together. Here it's for the kebetza, for tumas ochlim, all types of food. You have a half a kebetza and half a kebetza, two different types of food. They'll be aggregated together. Number four, bikrogag. The amount of the volume of a dried fig for Hotzah. If somebody carries on Shabbos where there's no Eruv, the prohibition is if the person carries the Isra Doraisis, if one carries the volume of a dried fig. So items that are equal to that volume, that would violate the prohibition of Hotzah on Shabbos. And number five, when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, Bikakoteves, B'Yom HaKippurim, it's a koteves, which is the volume of a large date. If somebody ate that amount of food within a certain amount of time on Yom Kippur, that would violate the prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur. That is all via foods. How about liquids? The same thing applies, Kolamashki, meat starving, all types of liquids, is it all, or is it seven types of liquids? They all aggregate together. Number one, lipsol as a gavia beravisa, as we just saw when it comes to truma. If somebody eats a certain amount of food, so he can't eat, he's disqualified from eating truma until he goes to mikvah. Same thing applies with drinking. If the person drank a raviz, which is a fourth of a lug of liquids and all different types of liquids combined for this, that would disqualify the person from having truma until going after the mikvah. And another thing, uvimula lugma b'yom kippurim. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we talked about the isra of eating on Yom Kippur. When it comes to drinking on Yom Kippur, the requisite amount to violate the prohibition of drinking on Yom Kippur is a mulo lugma, which is a cheekful, and that's going to be combined from various types of liquids as well. It doesn't have to be one liquid. The various liquids will combine to make up that amount. Mishnah Vav discusses two additional categories of items that will combine together. The first one is Orla and Kilaya Kerem. What are Orla and Kilaya Kerem? Orla is the first 3 years of fruit. It's prohibited to eat the new fruit in the first 3 years. And also it's prohibited to have benefit, Asr Bahana'a as well. That is Orla. And Kilaya Kerem is if somebody plants grapevines in close vicinity to either grains or vegetables, the produce, either the grapes or the grain, vegetables, that is called kilaya kerem, also usr to be eaten, usr bahana. And just to take a step away from orla kilaya kerem so we can explain how it's mitzarf with orla and kilaya kerem, if we take truma, for example, if we have chulin and we have truma and truma falls into chulin, that is going to be a problem. Unless you have 100 times chulin versus the truma. So if you have 100 times more of the chulin relative to the truma, or you have 101 or 102, 150, you have much more when it comes to the chulin to the truma, that will neutralize the truma. When it comes to orla and kilaya kerem, we're even stricter. It's not 100 times that's necessary, it's 200 times. So if you have orla or kilaya kerem that falls into 150 or 170 times of heter, that's not going to be neutralized. That's not enough. The whole batch is going to become problematic. However, if you have 200 times, 205 times or more versus the orla or the kilaya kerem, it's going to be neutralized. So how about if we have orla that falls in and also kilaya kerem together? So each by itself would be neutralized. If we have, for example, we have 200 times heter versus the orla, and if it were just orla, or if it was just kilaya kerem that fell in, we have 200 times. But when we combine orla and kilaya kerem, now we have too much of the iser that what we have of the heter is not going to be able to neutralize it. So ha'orla v'kilah k'ar mitzarfim zeim zet. They are mitzarf together in order to be able to, we're not going to be able to neutralize them because they combine together. Another example the Bartanur brings when they are neutralized, if it's somebody is eating orla and kilaya karam, there's a certain shear, a minimum amount that a person eats has to, in order to violate. How about if you have half of that shear for orla and half for the kilaya karam, they will combine together and the person will receive malchus. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Einan Mitzarfin, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, they are not mitzarf because they are two separate independent isurim, orla and Kilai Kerem, because there's two separate prohibitions, they will not be mitztaref together. Next, we are going to be talking about various items, garments, etc., that are made of various materials. And what we'll talk about is the tumah that material receives. And on a high level, in order for a material to become tame, there are two conditions, two requirements. Number one, a material is only going to become tame if it comes into contact with an av hatuma. Av hatuma, very high level of tuma. For example, a rodent that is dead, so that is going to be an av hatuma. So that's condition number one. A material is going to become tame if it touches an av hatuma, but not if it touches a lower level of tuma, for example, a rishon sheni. And the second condition is that it has to have a minimum size, a minimum shi'ur, in order to become tami. But if it's going to be below that minimum shmim shi'ur, then it's not going to be a tami. Now, what adds to the complexity is that various types of materials have various differing minimum sizes. So some are going to have smaller sizes, so we're going to be more strict on those, and some are going to have a higher size on it. In order to become tame, it needs more material. So we're going to talk about when we have different types of materials, are they going to combine together or are they not going to be combining together? And as we'll see shortly, that they will and they won't. In other words, they will for the larger measurement. So in order for the larger measurement, they will combine together, but not for the smaller measurement. As follows, habeged. A beged is something that is made of cloth, and at least for tumas medrash, the minimum size, and we'll explain what that is in a little bit, the minimum size for the cloth in order for it to become tame is it has to be a minimum of 3x3 tfachim, hand breaths. If it's a minimum of 3x3 and it comes into contact with something that's an avatuma, that material would become tame. So when it comes to the beged, the hasak, sack is a sack, literally. It's made of goat hair. And then the minimum size is 4x4 tfachim. If it's smaller than that, it won't become tame. The hasak, which is what we just mentioned already, the sack, the goat hair, 4x4 minimum shear. Or leather, which is a minimum size, even bigger, a 5x5. We're going increasing, in other words. You've gone from 3x3, which is the cloth, to 4x4, which is the goat hair sack. Then we've gone from 4x4 up to 5x5, the leather. And how are we coupling them together? So something that's 3x3 together with 4x4, and something that's 4x4 together with 5x5, or the hamapatz, and something that is or, which is leather, the 5x5, together with a mapatz, which is a reed mat, which is 6x6, all of these meet starfim zeim zed, they will all combine together for the larger amount. So if you're missing some of, for example, the mapas, the 6x6, then in order to make the 6x6, you can include with that something of the lower amount. For example, the or only requires 5x5. That's a stricter shear. We can be mitzarif that in order to make up what's lacking for the reed mat for the 6x6. That is mitzarfim zeim zed, all those will combine together. Rabbi Shimon Omer Mipnei Shen Ruim Litame Moshav. Rabbi Shimon, I'll explain something. And if we hark back to Mishnah Gemara, we talked about things that have different sizes, that they are not mitzarif together. They have different shirim. They are not mitzarif together. So this is a little bit of a surprise here after Mishnah Gemara, where we said that things of different sizes are not mitzarif, even if it would be l'hachmer, l'hakel, even if it's to be combining for the larger size, even if it's for the more lenient shear. It didn't matter. We're not mitzarif them together. And here we are saying that they are mitzarif together when it comes to materials. So Rabbi Shimon is explaining why. Rabbi Shimon says, because despite the fact that we have these different minimum shiurim for each of these materials, but because in this one instance they all have the equal shear, when it comes to the tumah of Moshav, The Tumah of Moshav is if you have an item that is made to be lied on or sat on, or to support somebody, for example, a chair or a bed or something like that, and somebody who has a high level of Tumah, for example, a Zav, it's a man who had a certain flows multiple times, so he is a Zav if he sits down or he supports himself or he lies on that item that is normally used for that purpose. He sits on a chair, he lies on a bed, that will receive a Tumat Midra. So all of these materials that we're talking about here, that despite the fact that for other types of Tumah, they do have different shirim, be it 3x3, 4x4, 5x5, 6x6, but because when it comes to Tumah a Moshav, the specific type of Tumah, they all have the same shear. And this is actually also called a Tumas Midras, as we talked about a little bit earlier. Tumas Midras is leaning, Tumas Moshav is sitting. So if somebody indeed would, as we discussed, somebody sits, lies, etc., on any of the items designated for that purpose, and that item is made of a material, it doesn't matter the type of material. For different types of Tumah, it may have a higher shear, 3x3, 4x4, 5x6, but for this purpose, for Tumas Midras, Tumas Moshav, it's going to have the exact same shear of 1x1 tefach, in order to receive the Tumah, and accordingly, because they have this parallel together of 1x1, in the other areas as well, we're going to be mitzarif them. The 4x4 can be restarted to 5x5, and the 5x5 can be restarted to 6x6 in order to combine and make the higher amount of material, the higher shear, in order for it to cause it to be mekabel tumah.